Perakei Mishnah Hey Asara Nisim Naasula Avosena Bimitzrayim Ve Asara Alayam. 10 miracles were performed for our ancestors in Egypt and 10 at the sea. Eser Makos Hevi Hakadosh Baruch Hu LaMitzrim Bimitzrayim Ve Asar Alayam. 10 plagues that Hakadosh Baruch Hu bring upon the Egyptians in Egypt and 10 at the sea. There's a basic question that requires analysis, and that is, of course, as we've been learning Maseches Avos, now we find ourselves toward the beginning of the fifth parak, we know that Avos is about Midos, is about Musar, is about ethics, is about teaching us how to live our lives as Jews properly, with the appropriate way of going about life in our relationship with people, interpersonal relationships, and connecting to Hashem. The Masechta is not a history book. It's not teaching us what occurred in the long history of the Jewish people. Why then is this Mishnah and this string of Mishnahs that we're learning now vis-a-vis the number 10 seem to be recording Jewish history? 10 miracles God brought to the Jewish people in Egypt, 10 on the sea, 10 plagues were upon the Egyptians, 10 on the sea. And furthermore, throughout this series of Mishnahs, we begin to see the importance and the recollection and the history books being opened. What does this have to do with Maseches Avos, and how do we understand the beginning of chapter 5 in light of Maseches Avos in general? Specifically, this Mishnah, however, begins to go through not the histories of individuals. Avram Avinu, as we've been studying the last three Mishnahs, of course, teaches us how we live our lives as Jews and how we could become better people, both in our relationship with God and our relationship with Hashem. But when it comes to recording the 10 miracles on the sea, the 10 miracles and the 10 makos in Egypt, what does that have to do with us? And why is this recorded in Maseches Avos, a tractate and a Masechta dedicated to Midos and to Musar? If you look carefully at the life of Klal Yisrael and the famous 40-year sojourn of the Jewish people in the desert, we were zocheh and we were privileged to incredible miracles. Let's go back to the beginning. The 10 makos, the aseres hamakos, dam, tzvardeya, kinim, arov, dever, shchin, barat, arbe, choshech, makos, bechoros. Unbelievable. The death of the firstborn. It was something majestical. It was something completely out of the ordinary. The Makkah, the 10th Makkah, happened kachatzos alayla, exactly at midnight. They were such incredible, if you read the story and if you read the psukim and the parshios of Va'era and Bo, and you see the midrashim, what God was able to do and what Paro and the Mitzrim saw and what the Chartumim couldn't duplicate was just unbelievably amazing. And if you continue, we saw Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea. The Jewish people went right through it. As soon as the Egyptians came in, they drowned. And ultimately, Oz Yashir. And as we crossed the sea, we entered the Midbar, we were zocheh to the man, to the be'er, to the slav, to incredible amounts of food that came from heaven, the man, the slav, the quail, the be'er, a water well in the middle of the desert, something beyond belief, absolutely miraculous and majestic, and very clearly was the hand of God. And as you continue reading the Midbar, we saw the open hand of God in many other ways. Korach va'adaso, Korach was swallowed up. Dasan va'aviram, the 250 men. And there was very obviously a clear hand of Hashem through our journey, because the anane ha'kavod, the holy clouds of glory, continued to travel with us. So it's very obvious that Hashem was with us. If you take a look in his fantastic commentary on Avos, Rabbi Avram Tversky, the well-known psychiatrist, he says that this Mishnah actually teaches us an important psychological concept. If you wish to believe, then you will believe without miracles. But if you are determined to doubt, all the miracles in the world will not convince you. And that's the story of the Jewish people, the miracles, the makos, al-hayam, the makos in Mitzrayim, the slav, the be'er, the man. They had incredible miracles. So if Klal Yisrael wanted to believe in Hashem, they saw Kadosh Baruch Hu in Mitzrayim, they saw Kadosh Baruch Hu at Matan Torah, they saw Kadosh Baruch Hu at Kriyas Yamsuf. If they wanted to believe, they didn't need all the miracles. But Klal Yisrael seemed to have been determined to doubt, and thus all the miracles in the world didn't even convince them. And that's what this Mishnah is teaching us, a very important point of ethics and of philosophy, that belief is not dependent on being the recipient of a miracle and hearing God talk. Because if you want to believe, you'll believe even without that. And if miracles are sent your way, if you're not a believer, you're not going to do anything with that. And thus, That's the yesod of this mission, and that's what this mission is teaching us. It's a well-known statement. I believe it's attributed to Reb Chaim Brisker, who said that for a Jew who has questions, there are answers. But for a Jew that knows there are no answers, even the question that he asks is not really a question, because you're not going to be able to resolve something that you're not willing to listen to. Because when you're asking a question, that means you're willing to look, to think, to contemplate, and to penetrate and get to the plummet, the depths of the truth. That's what a question is supposed to do. But it depends how you ask a question. If your question is there simply to lecanter, because you're not really looking for an answer, then your question is not valid. Rabbi Tversky continues in his commentary, and he notes that frequently has found this to be true in his clinic, and he says it's clinically true as well. If someone has a need to believe something, he says, you will never be able to disprove it. You gotta believe. And if that person believes something, you'll never, ever, ever be able to disprove it. But on the other hand, he writes, if someone has the need to deny something, he will do so even if it's right in front of his own eyes. And he explains that day after day, he sees people in his clinic, in his office, where he deals with drug abuse and various different levels of alcoholism and abuse. He says highly educated, successful people who he meets deny the absolute clear evidence before their eyes that they have lost control of alcohol, of drugs, or of gambling. They simply deny it. It's in their face. Highly educated, successful people that will simply deny it. Clearly, the upshot of all this is that in order to stay in touch with reality, we need an objective observer, a friend, a therapist, a rav, a rebbe, a spouse. And certainly now more than ever, in the difficult, challenging times that we're living in, coupled with the fact that we're approaching Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur in the month of Elul, there's no better time than to really look ourselves in the eyes and say, are we denying something? Or are we trying to prove or disprove something? We are often our worst enemy, because we come with preconceived notions and we come looking for miracles, and when the miracle comes, we don't see it. And we say, if only this, if only that. Our job and our goal is to be honest with ourselves, to be open-minded, and not to be controlled by anything but our own soul, our own mind, and our own heart, to look carefully into the recesses of our own souls, of our own hearts, of our own minds, and ask ourselves, are we being like Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim? Are we denying the obvious? Do we recognize and acknowledge all the good that God has given us? Do we see how much blessing and how much tova we have in our lives? Do we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu performing miracles for us in our own lives? Maybe it's not the man, maybe it's not the slav, it's not the bear, it's not Kriyas Yamsov, it's not Matan Torah, it's not open miracles, it's not Nisim Gluyim. But in our lives, we have to look more carefully, because it's not as obvious. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides room and shelter and home and board and family and friends and a parnasa and all of the things that we need to succeed with family, with community, with a job, with all of the basic necessities that we have. And now more than ever have we realized these last 6 months in the COVID experience of the pandemic, how grateful and thankful we have to be for the basics, because it's not so easy always to recognize that. But these months have allowed us to concretize and to make us recognize how lucky we are for what we have. And thus the Mishnah, which seems to record a historical fact, a Mishnah which seems to be teaching us nothing more than old history about what happened to the Jews here, there, and everywhere, is really teaching us one of the most basic foundational philosophical points that is so critical and crucial to each of us in our practical lives. Being honest, open-minded. And if we're not sure if we are, ask a friend, a spouse, a Rebbe, a Rav, where do I need work? What should I correct? What's an area that I really need to work harder in? Where are my areas of excellence? And how will I be able to approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu as we get closer and closer to the Yom HaDin, Rosh Hashanah Ba'aleinu Letov, as we approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say honestly, like the Rambam writes in Hilchas Tshuva, Ani Acher, I'm a different person. Tshuva comes from the word Shav. Shav means to return. Tshuva is not simply about being angry and upset and about committing and thinking about everything we did right and everything we did wrong. Shav means to return to ourselves, to know who we are, what we're about. That's the lesson of this Mishnah. We'd be zocha to have the wherewithal, the strength, the fortitude to take advantage of these weeks ahead, to look and to search and to find the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and really, really to find ourselves first. Have a wonderful day.